God's grace to you and His peace from our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Our text is actually coming from our Old Testament reading, and so if you want to turn to the back cover of your bulletin, because I'll be making some references to that, from Deuteronomy chapter 26, 1 through 11. But before I get into the text, let me just share with you the title of the message, because that's sort of the theme: we get to worship. It sounds like a very positive theme. We get an opportunity to come and to worship. Now, I will admit, some of you may have, or you actually may be yourself in this category, one of those people who have a hard time and struggling with getting up on Sunday morning. You also may have children, relatives, spouse, or other people who sit there and say, "Do I really have to go to church this morning? Come on, it snowed last night. I just want to stay in bed." Well, that may be the thoughts of many people. They may be saying, "Why do I have to go to church?" Well, if you ever run across anyone like this, you need to steer them to the direction of Deuteronomy chapter 26, because this section, our Old Testament reading, does a great job in answering that question. What do we do here on Sunday morning? First of all, let me also start with another illustration. I like to describe worship as a big giant waterfall, so to speak. So picture in your mind some big giant waterfall with all this gushing water coming from the top down. And that's exactly what worship is all about. We come and we gather to worship to do what? To receive that grace that comes from above. That grace that's coming from heaven, coming from God, coming down upon us as hard rocks below, so to speak. And what happens when the water hits the hard rocks? There's a little bit of that spray that comes back up. But in comparison to the volume that's coming down, it's just a little. And by the way, the spray that does go up eventually does come back down. And that's an exact wonderful way of describing what occurs here. We are being showered by God's grace. Sure, we offer our praise. Sure, we offer our prayers. Sure, we offer our encouragement to other brothers and sisters. But compared to the amount of grace coming down, it's just a little bit of spray going up. And that should be the approximate proportion here. So let's get to our text from Deuteronomy chapter 26. These words are being given to the people of Israel before they get to the promised land. They're already out of Egypt, out of their slavery in Egypt. They're en route to the promised land, and they receive these words: when you get into the land that the Lord your God is giving you for an inheritance and have taken possession of it and live in it. So there's a couple things going on. It's when you get to the land, not beforehand. And that's important. I'll get to that in a little bit. But when you get there, and who's giving you this land? Who's the one that promised you this land? We'll find out later in our text. It's a land flowing with milk and honey. It is God who is giving them the land. Please keep that in mind, because the next verse is probably going to set some of you on edge, if it didn't already during the Old Testament reading. Because within Christianity and our perception of what Christianity is, this verse is grossly misinterpreted. "You shall take some of the first of all the fruit of the ground, which you harvest from your land that the Lord your God has given you, and you should put it in a basket, and you should go to the place that the Lord your God will choose to make his name to dwell there." Now, some of you are probably already thinking, he's going to talk about tithing. I knew it. The church always talks about money. I actually hear people actually say that to me. And the truth of the matter is, if you go back to that waterfall, what's really happening? It's God's grace coming down. It is God pouring out his blessings upon us. And remember that spray, that little bit coming back up? Okay, now let's take that into connection here. Notice what's happening. Verse 1 set the stage. This is God's land, God's people, God delivering his people to this land. And notice I said this was after they already took possession of the land and lived in it. They were going to offer the first fruits, the result of that land, back to God. Yes, some people want to call that tithing, which is that 10%, so to speak. But let's talk about that for a moment in relationship to our text. Because in our text, notice what God and how God is setting the stage. While they were wandering through the wilderness, they didn't have time to plant crops. God was feeding them down the line. Was God expecting anything from them? The answer was no. It was only after they got to the land and God gave them something that God says, by the way, I want you to give the first fruits back. There's a reason here why I'm trying to cause so much attention here. Because the tithe or the first fruits giving is very grossly misinterpreted in today's society. Too often we fall off the path on either direction. One direction is that we fall off the path this way that basically says, well, the tithe or the first fruits giving was a way of earning mercy. No. They were already loved by God. They were God's people. God had already delivered them into the land before this kind of first fruits talk came up. So we need to get rid of that. The other extreme is that we completely ignore first fruits giving. But when we do that, we rob God of something. We rob God of being the author and creator of life. And as we sing in our closing hymn, praise God from whom all blessings flow. We rob God of that line by saying, oh, let's just forget about the tithing. I'll give what I want to. You see, when we get to tithing, when we get to first fruits giving, we have the wrong perception, and it's the same perception we have that's wrong sometimes in our worship. You see, very often people think that, why should I give God 10%, thinking that 100% of it is mine? And that's the faulty thinking. Remember the waterfall. 100% of it comes from above. It's not mine. It didn't begin with me. Waterfalls don't go backwards. The spray is a result of the water, the blessings, hitting the rocks and bouncing up. Basically, don't think of it as giving up 10%, but think of it as getting 90%. Now, if some of you are still struggling with this concept, don't worry about the percentage. What's the first fruits giving? It's only a result of the blessings that God has first given you. So if you're barely struggling, there are also other aspects of how we give of ourselves. So let's go on with our text here and pick up with verse 5. And I know I'm skipping a couple lines, but I'll get back to it in a little bit. Verse 5. And you shall make response before the Lord your God. Notice the quotation marks. This is what you're supposed to say when you present your gift to the altar of the Lord. A lost, and I prefer the term lost instead of wandering Aramean, because lost is a better way of describing what's occurring in the Hebrew. It's not wandering as far as nomadic. It's truly being lost. You can't find your way. Aramean was my father. And notice what's happening here. He says, and he went down into Egypt and sojourned there, few in number. And there he became a great nation. Why? Because God blessed him. Great, mighty populace. Next problem. The Egyptians came and they harassed them. They treated them hardly. God again answered. We cried to the Lord, and the Lord, the God of our fathers, he heard us. In verse 8, the Lord brought us up out of Egypt with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm, with great deeds of terror, with signs, and he brought us into this place. Notice what's going on here. The words that they were supposed to say were first given to them by God, and talking about how God delivers them. Notice our liturgy, Divine Service Setting 3 from the Lutheran Service Book. In that liturgy, you have what? You have God's word that was given to us, because notice the Bible references the various parts of the liturgy, whether sung or spoken. We are taking God's word that God has given to us, and we are saying them back to God. Again, remember that waterfall. God first gives to us. Much more, we give a little back. And notice what we're saying here. We're talking about God's promises, God's deliverance. Again, God's mercy, His benefits. Getting back to the whole concept of what is worship, we want to gather for worship. We do gather to worship. We get this opportunity to gather to worship to receive God's benefits and His blessings. Now, let me back up a little bit here and talk a little bit more about these blessings. Verse 2, near the end of it, after it says that, and you shall put it into a basket, and you should go to the place that the Lord your God will choose to make His name dwell there. Notice it's not the person who's making His name dwell there. It's God. But through this sort of sacrifice of praise, God's name is dwelling there. For the New Testament, we're described as wherever two or three are gathered in His name, He is going to be in the midst. Why? Because He loves us. He cares for us. He wants to bestow His blessings upon us. And verse 3 sets up how He's going to bestow His blessings upon us. And you shall go to the priest who is in the office. I just want to talk about the office for a moment. Did this mean that they set up a little shop, you know, a little storefront window with a little sign out in front? Does this mean that the priest had a little receptionist? Or had computers or telephones and fax and internet and email? The answer is no. What we're talking about office here is not in our corporate sense that we understand offices in today's world, but in the office, as far as office is using the term position. Another way to describe this is my position as pastor here at Trinity Evangelical Lutheran Church in West Chicago is the office of the public ministry. It is my job as called to this office to do what? To take God's wonderful gifts, His blessings, His forgiveness, His love that He has given to us through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and give it out. A good way of using that is, did you know that in our liturgy the word office is used? And do you know where it is used at? If you guessed correctly in saying at the absolution, you're 100% correct. I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, thereby forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Let me unpack what's going on there. In my position as pastor, my job is to take that water, that grace of God coming down from us, and giving it out. So I, in serving in the office of pastor, give that out. Fortunately, I'm also standing there myself. Let me put it this way. I, in the office of pastor, am forgiving myself as David, my own sins. So Pastor Ball is forgiving David Ball his own sins. The answer is yes. And also forgiving you your sins in the stead of Christ. I'm not Christ. I'm just in the position that God has placed me to go and to share God's gifts. Likewise, at the altar, when we celebrate the sacrament of the Lord's Supper, I commune myself. It's like Pastor Bala communing David Bala for the forgiveness of David Bala's sins and for the strengthening of David Bala's faith. Likewise, for the strengthening of your faith and the forgiveness of your sins. That's what this office is all about. And yes, we use that term in our liturgy. So you're supposed to go to the priest who's in the office and say to him and offer up that gift. Let me just pop down to the end of our text. As you're giving that gift of the first fruits of the ground, verse 10, and you shall set it down before the Lord your God and worship. Now, here's the actual time we will use the word worship. What's going on here? And worship here in the Hebrew is nothing more than just bowing down. And this is the key to my beginning illustration. We get to worship versus the concept of, oh, do I really have to go to worship? Do I have to go to church today? Worship is a bowing down. That of a submission to authority. Who's the authority here? It's not me. It's God. We are worshiping our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It is He who died on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins. He who shed His blood. He is the one who made atonement for us. And for the Christian who realizes this, we bow down and we submit ourselves to His authority and say, all right, Lord, You are the one. It's not about me. It's about what You have done for me. It's about that waterfall, that pouring out of grace that You have done for me. this now changes the whole attitude for the Christian when it comes to Sunday morning worship. We get to go to church because God is bestowing His grace upon us when we truly understand what worship is all about. But if we think worship is about what I do for God, I have to ask you, what can you as a bunch of sinners do for the holy, perfect God? Nothing but reflect what He has given you. That's what worship is all about. So when people struggle with the concept and going, oh, I really don't want to go to church today, they're not understanding what worship is. They're not understanding God's fruit, His blessings, that God has given you all things, including the forgiveness of sins, the opportunity to pray to Him, to call Him Abba Father, as Paul uses, to call Him Father. Because of our sins, we deserve death and damnation. We deserve to be wiped out. But it is God who is showering us with gifts. God who is showering us with blessings. God who says, come gather, hear my word, be strengthened by my sacraments, be strengthened by my word being proclaimed. Be encouraged. Receive these blessings. Who doesn't want to receive blessings from God? Those who don't want to receive blessings from God aren't found in the worship, because that's what's occurring here. So this day we do give our great praise and thanks to God, as He has showered upon us many blessings, and He will continue to shower upon us many more. We thank God for having this relationship, of being that great waterfall and bestowing more blessings than we could even imagine. And we ask the Lord to open up our hearts, our minds, so that we can bow down to His will, to see how He has richly and daily how He blesses us in our lives. In His name, amen. Now the peace of God that surpasses all our understanding will continue to guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.